This life-changing message is brought to you by Strong Christian Church, a united denomination originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, where the Word of God is imparted clearly, practically, and comprehensively. Our aim is to provide a solid foundation, a Bible-based instruction to our church members to equip them to teach and preach wherever they may be. God bless you as you listen to this message.
I'm still on the subject of Hope Secrets. You know, it's a whole series and there are different portions of it. But I believe that today's topic is God will right every wrong of your life. How many have been wronged before? Yes. I mean, if you are a human being and you live on this earth, you would have wronged somebody and somebody would have wronged you. But especially the ones that is done to us is what we remember. We often don't remember the ones, even the ones we do to others, sometimes we are not even aware. Isn't it? But thank God for His mercy. Amen. Now, you know, the reason why I ask us to pray for understanding is that a lot of people don't understand what life is about. A lot of people don't understand what life is about. And we often get preoccupied with the needs that come up because we are alive. I don't know if you understand it. That we, you know, there is a purpose. There's a reason for our existence as human beings on this earth. There's a reason. There's somebody who has organized and arranged things to work together. Please, you may be seated. Sorry. Do you get it? There's somebody who has organized and said, this is what I'm doing. I'll create somebody. I'll create a human being that looks like me to be in charge of this beautiful system that I've created. And this is what they must do. Now, the problem that has arisen or is affecting us is that at the beginning of everything that God has done, there was a disconnection through disobedience. Don't do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then man said, no, I'll do 11, 12, 13. Based on what God's opponent, who is Satan, has said. He came and said, did God say you shouldn't do 11, 12, 13? Oh, yeah. God said we shouldn't do it. Oh, don't worry. He knows that if the day you do it, you'll be like him. That's why he is trying to prevent your promotion. And you can understand. You see, when you look back, there's always the hindsight, the wisdom of looking back. Are you with me? There's always the wisdom of looking back. Because looking back, if I meet Adam, I would like to ask him a few questions. Did you get it? To ask him that, first of all, you don't even know how you came to exist. So if somebody has come to tell you that the one who created you, because obviously, if God created Adam, which it is, the first person he would have seen is God. The first person he would have seen is God. And judging by his reaction, I dare say that he has been having interaction with God. You know, judging by his reaction after he has disobeyed, the fact that he went to hide himself. I mean, you don't hide yourself from somebody you don't know when he's coming. And you don't hide yourself from somebody that never comes. So for you to hide, it means that you have knowledge that this guy will come. And then secondly, you must have something to sense his coming. Like when the gate opens, my children always have a way of accusing me that for whatever reason, when I in particular come to the house, the gate doesn't make the noise. The car doesn't, nothing makes a noise. I just appear on them. And I tell them that it's not the case. The gate makes as much noise as it will make. And the car makes enough, whatever noise it's been making. It's just that you are so engrossed in your things that you don't pay attention to the noise that is generated when I'm coming. So for Adam to know when to hide, are you with me? It shows to me that he could sense there was something that made him aware of the visitation by God. So the thing is that if you know that this person has created you, and then you were there when he even said, it is not good for you to be alone. So because in all these things, where was Satan? Then he made you somebody that looks like you, that you really liked. And you made it made you become a poet. And you said many nice things. Now, so if this God has brought you into existence, and then you've seen with your eyes how he has brought another likeness of you into existence, then and he has told you what to do and what not to do. Then Satan comes to tell you that no, this God is trying to keep you down. Is it not common sense to say that he has made me for a purpose and has made me in the state that the purpose needs? But you see, sometimes the person who is against us is smarter. And you know, the suggestion that somebody is trying to cheat you, it's quite appealing. It's quite appealing in terms of not wanting to be cheated. And the result of it was that Adam yielded to Satan's advice. In spite of all the good that God has done for him, he decided to respond to Satan's advice because the appeal was good. And the result of it, we all know. When it was over, he lost his house. Because he was living in the garden. He lost the garden. He lost his daily provision of food. Because until Satan came, he was not working to eat. Then all of a sudden, he has to now get clothes. Because he was free of clothes. And I don't know what else he lost. You can think about it. So now, what has happened to all of us is that what was freely given to us, what was not intended to be our preoccupation, has become our preoccupation, which is what to eat, what to wear, where to sleep, and so many other things that has come, including electricity. I don't know whether your electricity is cheap. Ish. Is a prepaid more expensive than the postpaid? I don't know, but I recently converted to prepaid and I'm feeling the bill is becoming heavier. But anyway, so what it is that, unfortunately, by the disobedience of Adam and Eve, we have, in addition to the purpose of our existence, we have also the challenge of meeting needs that have arisen, that have come up because we are alive. I mean, dead people don't have the bills you have. Have you seen a dead person with water to pay, a car to drive, rent? No. What they are is rent free. There's no maintenance, nothing. They just join the soil gradually from where they came. Do you get it? But you and I have to eat. I mean, this afternoon, there must be something to eat. Whether we have money or not, our stomach doesn't seem to be considerate. And so many other things that we've also brought on ourselves. I mean, we were created with our own hair. Now we say we don't want it. We want other people's hair. Please, I don't have anything against extra hair. I don't have anything against extra hair. I'm just explaining a point. That, and now listen. This is the problem. Because of our preoccupation with the needs, it shifted our focus from the real purpose for which we were brought into existence. It shifted our focus from the real purpose for which we were brought into existence. Which the Bible indicates clearly, if you read through it, a personal relationship with God. God wants to have fellowship with us. Yeah. Personal relationship with God. But what life and the challenges of being around has done is that it has preoccupied us with so many things to the point that we neglect a personal relationship with God. Many people don't care. Even those who say they are born again, they don't really care about their personal relationship with God. I mean, if you ask them, they will say they care. But if you examine their lives, the evidence is contrary. And in addition to all these things, sin also has worked in our carnal nature. Many things that are preoccupying us. See a woman who has everything. Still, she wants one thing. And the one thing is going to give her problems, but she says, I still want it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And the opposite is also true. So what is happening is that the real thing, the relationship with God, is being neglected. But you see, I pray for you and I pray for myself that by the Spirit of God, we would have understanding. And we will never neglect what we shouldn't neglect, which is a relationship with God. Hallelujah. And whatever Satan would throw at us, may the Lord help us to survive. Amen. And keep that relationship. And keep that relationship. Because that, your relationship with God is everything. I said your relationship with God is everything. It will help you in this life. And even in this life, in terms of the needs, the things you must do, your relationship with God will help you. Because Jesus said, don't worry. Your Father in heaven, you see, if he's your Father, he said your Father in heaven knows your needs. Matthew 6:32, it says,
Don't worry. Your Father in heaven knows that you have need. He knows it. He said, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need, not want. You see, a want is over and above what is needed. And you can do without a want. But a need is a necessity. I mean, without breath, without oxygen in the air, I mean, the body will cease to function after about 4 minutes. So oxygen is a need. It's not a want. It's not a luxury. Now, if the body is to be alive, it cannot do without oxygen. And the oxygen that we have in the system can survive for only 4 minutes. After 4 minutes, it's finished and every system will shut down. By 3 minutes, you lose consciousness. Or 2 minutes thereabout, you start losing consciousness. And if it persists for about 4 minutes, you'll meet up with Jesus. You surprise Jesus. He said, who is there? It's me. Oh! How did you... What happened? I wasn't expecting... But of course, the Lord knows everything. So the Bible is telling us, are you with me, that our Heavenly Father knoweth that we have need of these things. And why was Jesus saying it? Because Jesus knew that that is going to be the preoccupation of the people he has chosen. And it will be, you see, it will be the preoccupation to the neglect of what they shouldn't neglect. You see, the problem I have with these type of situations is that they make you give attention to them. But you are not only giving attention to them, but it leads you to neglect what you shouldn't neglect. And many things are like that in this life. They get your attention, and then in the process, they make you neglect what is important to your life. You see, fathers or men, having settled down and started a family, get attracted by something else that is behind the fence, forgetting that they have started a family and that what is behind the fence is just something that is passing. And you shouldn't drop what you have actually started intentionally. But somehow, when the fence one is calling, they drop the one that they have started intentionally. And then years down the line, they come back and expecting what they neglected to have yielded. Are you with me? Yeah. May the Lord help all of us. Amen. Never to neglect our relationship with him. May the Lord deliver us from every move of the enemy that seeks to affect our relationship with him. And may the Lord give us strength to pursue our relationship with him in spite of every challenge that comes to our lives. Amen. Because remember, it has profit in this life. God will help you. God, when you have a relationship with him, he never neglects his own. God never neglects his own. And God is actually, you see, when God says this is what will happen, nothing can stop it. And your relationship with him is what makes him also declare and say things concerning you. His intentions towards you are good. Whatever Satan came to tell Adam and Eve was a lie. Whatever God had planned for them was the best for their lives. You see, God told them, don't eat this tree. The day you eat it, you will die. Somebody will ask, but if you know they were not supposed to eat it, why did you put it there? Because God is not creating robots. He's not looking for relationship with robots. He's looking for relationship with people with a will, a choice. You know, So you can't say somebody loves you when they have no choice but you. Are you with me? But when there are choices, are you with me? Then they look through and they say, it's you I want. That it's real.
Yeah.
At least until it changes. You know, many things start out well, but you can't be sure. The wind blows and it changes their direction. So God, it was not creating robots and things. God, he intentionally gave us a will so that our obedience of him will be by choice, not by force. So he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told them everything they need to know about it. But the other, you see, why I'm saying God has a good intention for you and good plans for me and you, is because in the same garden, God put in that garden a tree that gives life to anyone who eats it. And that life would be in them life forever. So when man disobeyed God, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, in the process of getting them out of the garden, there was also a statement which God made, say that we have to keep them out of the garden and protect the garden from them accessing it, because in the garden was a tree of life. So if God doesn't like you, why would he give you an opportunity to eat something that will make you live forever? And remember, he didn't warn you that don't touch it. He said, of every tree in the garden, you shall eat. It includes this tree. He said, and the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the original agenda of God was for you and me to live forever. Yeah, that was his agenda, because he put it there and he said nothing about it. And if you are eating, I mean, it's just a matter of time. One day you land on that. You say, I've eaten these trees on this side. How about the tree there? Yeah. If there was not a possibility of they eating it, he wouldn't have said it must be protected. So don't believe the lies of the devil that God doesn't love you. God loves you. I said, God loves you. And then also, don't believe that God only loves you if you are like this. No, he loves you no matter where you are and what you are today. Are you with me? None of us is beyond his love. Including those that have even declared themselves as his enemies, he still loves them. You have not declared yourself as an enemy of God. He loves you. What is the evidence? The evidence is that the Bible tells us he says, love your enemy so that you will be like your father. What is the evidence? The evidence is that he loves his enemies and he loves those who love him by providing for everybody. He makes his sun and his rain to both have access by all parties. Hallelujah. The blessing is when you have intentionally chosen him as your God and you have entered into a relationship with him, you become special. I said you become, there's a love that is for everybody, but there's a love that is for the one who has chosen him. Hallelujah. Amen. And you must fight to maintain it. and invest in it. I said invest in it. There's so much resource for successful life when you are in Christ. Oh yes, there's so much resources that God has provided for the success of your life when you are in Christ. He has provided you his Holy Spirit. The Bible tells that he promised, and when he died and rose again and went to heaven, he sent forth the promise of the Father, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is to dwell in you as a child, as a sign that you belong to God. Now, the Holy Spirit is not just a sign, but he's to dwell in you, to be God in you, and therefore release through your life the power of God. Hallelujah. And you must believe it. You know, the thing about life is that if you don't believe something, no matter what you are told it can do, you will never use it. You have to believe to make the best of it. And this is what Satan doesn't want you to invest in. This is why the world will laugh at you when you say you are a Christian. It's like, oh, you are a weakling. You are not. No, you are the one actually who is wiser. You are the one that have found the right thing. You are the one that have discovered the recipe of life. Because for anybody that doesn't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, is under the full control of Satan. Whether they acknowledge it or not, it doesn't change the fact. You see, it is God who wants you to decide that you want him, for him to accept you. Satan doesn't demand that from you, because you have always been under him. You entered his world as a sinner, as somebody belonging to Satan. And he's fully in charge of you. Fully, fully. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, or you have not taken a decision that God will be my God, and therefore accept the way that he has provided, that is Jesus Christ, as the way to him, and therefore receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't do that, you are under Satan. It is your doing that transfers you from Satan's control to the control of God. If you don't do that, anybody who has not done that, we will all discover it. Don't worry, no argument. I mean, death is not far from us. I mean, even if it's 100 years, it will come. Yeah. I mean, yesterday you were 3 years old. Now look at you. I mean, some of you are surprised. You don't even want to celebrate your age anymore. You know, when you get into your 50s, you get a feeling that life is moving too fast. I mean, in your 20s, 50 looks very far. But it is when you get to the 50 that you discover that, hey, 60 is just around the corner, and 70 is not far. When you cross 70, you know it's over. It's like, now I'm on the last lap. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we need to really understand this truth, that our relationship with Jesus is what, our relationship with God through Jesus Christ is what removes us from the authority of Satan. Are you with me? To be under the authority of God. And all of these things, they are scriptures. Good. Let me just show you. First of all, I said, if anybody doesn't have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're under Satan's control, isn't it? Ephesians 2, where? You can start from Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in Antipas you walk according to the prince. Please, this English, we don't understand it. Yes, in your past lives. Yes, in the past, your lives were full of those sins. You lived the way the world lives, following the ruler of the evil powers that are above the earth. Do you think in your past days before you met Jesus, you thought you were following the whatever is being described? Oh, you thought you were just being yourself and doing what every normal human being does. I mean, how many of us here sitting here would think that when you are fornicating, you are following, the devil is leading you? Or changing girls from one girl to the other. I hope none of you here have done it. The people who were doing it, I'm sure they were not in church. As they are jiving and drinking and forgetting, I mean, missing the... Some people can be so drunk that they miss every direction, including every... I mean, I don't want to say certain things. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, some people, they can be very drunk. It's like, how can you drink to this point? What's wrong with you? You see, because the Bible says, following the ruler of the evil powers that are above the earth, that same spirit is now working in those who refuse to obey God. Ask anybody who is not born again, doesn't believe in God and everything, whether they are following any spirit. They will tell you nonsense. Yeah, that's what they will tell you. And it works well for those spirits because they don't... You see, when you are going to do something of value, that is when you will want to be acknowledged. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But when the life that you are working with is, you are destroying it, why must you be acknowledged for destroying the life? No. So Satan doesn't demand acknowledgement. So he's very happy when people say, oh, no, nothing controls me. I do my things myself. To God be glory. They are very happy. So the guys, they think they are the ones doing it. No, they don't know that. We don't know that they are governing us. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. So just don't let anybody who has no relationship with God fool you. They have a relationship with Satan, a default setting, a default relationship with Satan. Now, you see, I'm emphasizing this because many of us don't value our relationship with God. But you must value it. And how much you value it is reflected by the investment you make into developing it. I mean, naturally, when a boy and a girl is in a relationship, I mean, the relationship is assessed by how much time is made for the relationship, especially when it is possible. That's why some people break up and they say, you don't have time for me. Because it's like, how can we say we are in a relationship and you hardly make time to see me, or whatever it is. You don't text, you don't say anything. Hallelujah. Yeah. So the value of your relationship, I mean, how much you value your relationship with God is reflected by the investment you make into it. Don't let anybody deceive you. And I would want to point out something here. Sunday coming to church is not enough. Because true, deeper relationships are not developed in public. They are developed in private. Yes. So don't be a Christian who doesn't spend quality time with God in the privacy of your home. Because these days we have a lot of Christianity that is just coming to church Sunday, moving up Sunday, just 2 hours, and that's it. It's like, I finished with God. Oh, what type of relationship are you going to have? and don't be a Christian who claims to have a relationship with God but it doesn't reflect in you. Anyway, that's not what I'm preaching. Let me stay. So you see, I'm explaining to you that if it's not God, it's Satan. There's no middle line. If it's not God, it's Satan. And you see, Satan will never come and stand and hit his chest and say, yeah, I'm in charge of you. No. Because he's taking you nowhere. When God came in the person of Jesus and described him, he described him as a murderer, as a destroyer, as a killer, as a thief. Whilst I'm here, let me just say this to you. What Satan wants to steal from you is not your boyfriend. It's not your girlfriend. It's not your car. It's your relationship with God. I said, it's your relationship with God. Hold on to it tight. I said, hold on to it tight. Because when that is gone, you belong to Satan. I said, when that is gone, you belong to Satan. Acts 26, verse 18. I'm trying to show you, according to the scriptures, that this is what God is saying. You can believe it or just tell me that the scriptures is a white man's book. That's also fine. But me, I'll believe it. I said, me, I'll believe it. Because your hair, the hair that you have, the way you are able to put it on, it's a white man's work. It's not a black man's work. So if you want to reject the white man's work, no problem. I don't have a problem. But don't reject some and keep others. It is Satan who is deceiving you so that you throw away what you shouldn't throw away. Hallelujah. Amen. It says to open. Please, can you write it in English? You will make them able to understand the truth. They will turn away from darkness to the light. They will turn away from the power of Satan. And they will turn to God. Then their sins can be forgiven. And they can be given a place among God's people. Those who have been made holy by believing in me. This is Paul. Apostle Paul was rehearsing or recounting his encounter with Jesus and what Jesus told him to do. So he's saying, this is what Jesus told. When you read the whole thing, you'll see. He said, I had an encounter with God. I had an encounter with Jesus. And this is the work he gave me. The work he gave me was for me to go and preach, to make them able to understand the truth. They would turn away from darkness to light. They would turn away from the power of Satan. But the people who have been living their lives, they've been making children, and are you saying they should turn? They are going to turn from the power of Satan because they've been under the power of Satan. That is what it is. And the way to change their lot is through preaching of the gospel. Because how can people know their state unless somebody comes to tell them, this is where you are? I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. So you who have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you say, by those who have been made holy by believing in me. That's the word of God says. That through Christ, you stand righteous with God. And you need to understand what has been done for you and maintain the relationship. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. Now, this relationship is what Satan wants from you. And he's going to come at you in different ways. One of the ways is to get people to do wrong things to you. Now, you see, when you believe in God, you don't only believe in God, but you believe in His protection. You believe in His justice. You believe in so many good things about Him, which is true. Are you with me? So when wrong things are done against you, you find yourself in a difficulty. Where is God? I don't know if you have ever found yourself in a situation where there's so much injustice being done to you, and you seem helpless, because this injustice is not coming from somebody that is weak, but somebody that is strong, that is also sort of, you can't easily take the person on. Or maybe it is also from that same place that you are receiving help. So it's like there's a limit to what you can do. Now, those things are meant to attack your relationship with God. They are meant to give you a false message about the God you claim to have. Remember, I told you, Satan doesn't want, he doesn't want anything from you. What he wants from you is your relationship with God. That's all. If he can have that, he has you. And that is what he will keep attacking. And one of the ways by which sometimes he will attack you directly, sometimes he will attack you indirectly. Look, I've had a situation where I said, Lord, how is this possible? How is this possible? You know, a person stands by this principle. This is how the person operates. But when it got to your situation, that principle ceased to operate. And everything that has been projected as evidence, in other words, the things that are looked for in cases as evidence, in your case, they didn't even look for it. It's like you know that the police investigates a crime scene by gathering so many things, including fingerprints. Are you with me? But in your case, when your situation came, when they came to investigate, they decided not to take fingerprints. Meanwhile, it is fingerprints that is present all over. And that if they are taking fingerprints, they would have seen the culprit. But in your case, they decided not to do fingerprints. Then you begin to ask, what's wrong? Is there anything I don't know here? Yeah. And sometimes that's you know, those type of situations, they come to test your faith in God. They come to test your trust in God. And sometimes they push you to break the rules of God. Remember this, Satan, once you are a child of God, Satan loses the right to punish you. Over you, Satan loses the right to punish you. Because you don't belong to him. That's why the Bible will say, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? The person is not your servant. And the Bible says, to his master he standeth or falleth. You don't know why. So you, as a child of God, Satan cannot punish you. What he does is to push you to do something that is contrary to God's instructions. And one of them is revenge. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that you must leave place for God. You must not avenge yourself. Because it says, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I think it's being quoted either from Leviticus or vengeance. That is an instruction that he has given. That don't, when somebody has done you wrong, never take it upon yourself to revenge. The question I want to ask is, what will make somebody feel for the need to revenge? When there's no gross evidence of justice. I mean, if somebody does something to you and immediately the police comes to arrest them and puts them in prison and then trial and then they are put in jail, you feel okay. But when you see them walking around, despite the fact that they've committed the crime and you know they did, but somehow the justice system is failing you, it's not easy to say that you are not going to take the law into your own hands. Sometimes you want to put some poison, especially an uncle that has violated you. A mother's husband that has decided to add you as an addition to the lobola he paid for your mother. You know, there are a lot of men who do that. Especially when you are a newer version of your mother. It's wickedness. And then in most cases, when you say it, the family says you are the bad girl. I mean, I've had many cases where the child, I mean, I had one bad case where the child was made pregnant by the man of the you know, the girl was staying, I think, with an auntie. And the girl got pregnant by the auntie's husband. And sadly, when it was brought up, it's like it's not true. The girl is lying. I mean, one of the reasons why a lot of children don't say when they are violated by adults that are close is the fear that they will be told that they are lying. And you are powerless. You grow up asking God questions. But you see, God says, vengeance is mine. Now, one of the things I'll say to you, remember this, I'll say this to you. The fact that you forgive somebody's wrong against you does not necessarily mean God has forgiven that person. Let me say it to your understanding. The fact that I've let go of the matter does not mean God has let go of the matter. So don't worry about letting go of issues. Don't worry. You are not the judge. God is the judge. Don't allow the wrong done to you to tempt you to break God's law. And Satan knows it. You know, Satan knows he can't punish you. But he also knows the principles that exist on this earth. They are principles. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So, you see, as somebody has done you wrong, and you are responding by also acting wrongly, do you get it? The act of you that is wrong is a seed you are sowing. Whether you were made to sow it or you sowed it by yourself, it is a seed you have sowed. Look, the seed doesn't grow because you bent down to put it on the ground. Even if somebody pushed you and it fell out of your hand and it falls on the ground, if the ground is good, it will grow. I hope you're understanding something. So listen, our lives, you must be heavily guided by God's word so that you don't fall prey to Satan. Because he knows what can easily tempt you to do what you are not supposed to do. And God has assured you that vengeance is mine. Can you write it in English for us? My friends, don't try to punish anyone who does wrong to you. My friends, don't try to punish anyone who does wrong to you. Wait for God to punish them with his anger. In the scripture, the Lord says, I am the one who punishes. I will pay people back. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You see, I'm not saying forgive because I like forgiveness. Hear with me. I'm not saying forgive because I don't understand what you are going through. I'm saying forgive because the only way you can prevent yourself from being made to sow a seed that you don't want to harvest is to forgive. Yeah. And a seed sown will grow. Whether you were made to sow it, somebody provoked you to sow it, or you happily went out to sow it, it is sown. It's like getting pregnant. Whether it was rape or it was what you wanted, once the sperm meet the eggs, they don't discuss the motives. The origin and that. No. Oh, this one is a friendly match. It was a friendly match. No. There are no friendly matches in pregnancy. And they are not offside. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. Church, God says, vengeance is mine. Trust, you see, just as you trusted him to save you from sins, trust him to do what he says he will do. So that the enemy will not lure you into doing things that will work against you in the future. Remember, you must guard your relationship with God. As I remember, you must guard your relationship with God. And whatever was meant for evil will always turn out for good. Because you see, as you decide to forgive or to let go and allow God to take charge, what you are saying to God, in as much as you have prevented yourself from being made to sow a seed that you shouldn't sow, what you are also saying to God is, I trust you. I said, what you are saying to God is, I can depend on you. What you are saying to God is, I have faith in you. And the Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder. And it goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Church, the Lord will protect you. Amen. As you obey his word by his spirit, you will not lose your relationship with him. Amen. And whatever the enemy throws at you, you will survive it. Amen. Because God by his spirit will guide you. You will navigate every difficulty, and it will never have the effect that it was intended to have in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you've been blessed by this message. Stay in touch by following our social media platforms @StrongChristianChurch.